you know, I think there's a real value in having an organization like ICMA who does represent 8,500 or say 8,600 other municipalities, from great big ones to ones that would have this many people living in the whole town. And I think they probably have a unique feel for what's involved in running a local government. Local governments are just a different kind of critter than state or maybe even county governments, but certainly state governments and the private sector. And you know, from a staff standpoint, I mean, I'd like to know. I'm sure there are places where we could be more efficient in our operations. I'd like to know, you know, those things that you do it that way because it's always been done that way, and it works, and so you don't go in and fix it. But if you really looked at it, you know, you might be able to, you know, to do the job a whole lot better, and that's ultimately what we're charged with doing. You know, he mentioned the ICMA's code of ethics, and as a member of ICM, I'm also bound by that code of ethics, and among other things, it stresses, you know, exact words are, but certainly the faithful carrying out of the public's business.
Right. And it's impartiality and so ethical standard.
You know, I think that to the extent that we're looking to go to a consulting firm to assist us personally, I think, you know, going to the organization who represents local governments, who's in business, you know, for that purpose primarily, is a whole, you know, it's a much better deal than going out and getting John QX consulting services, who may be great or may not be, but that's kind of my pitch for supporting this.
Yeah, and I concur with Mr. Thornton in that if we're going to do this, then our council has to be open to the ideas, not be defensive in our procedures, and analyze things from the point of view of efficiency and according to your code of ethics.
For what it's worth, I think you're demonstrating an openness right now just to, you know, asking for commentary and proposal on these issues. One of the things that would be important going forward is that you come together and decide how committed you are and regardless of what the results are, how you're going to address those once they, you know, are brought to light. I mean, that's truly a discussion that needs to happen. We would be happy if we were engaged to do that. We would be happy to work with you on that sort of preliminary piece or on aspects of that to make sure that that works well, that your ultimate judgment and your policy decisions work with the report that's generated, because if you're going to implement things, you have to be at the table just like the rest of the organization.
A lot of our decisions are going to be based on finances.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be able to help with guidance in that field?
Well, and some of this will depend upon, again, the short answer would be yes. The long answer is it'll depend on how you want to scope this and what you're going to do, and we will tell you what the financial implications can be. I mean, there are ways of doing things. I use another example. One of the communities that I did a project for, their whole purpose was to model the long-term financial impact of growth in their community. And so that was the driver of that. We assessed the organization's capacity, but we modeled forward 20 years everything from capital and operating expenses and how they merged. And, you know, that was a fairly intensive project. If that's the driver and that's what you want to do, that's a completely different kind of project. However, the financial implications of things that you do, we can express an opinion on, and we can tell you what will be involved relative to FTEs and that sort of thing. And if it gets into shift allocation and changes in police, as an example, we wouldn't probably be looking in at least in what we've been talking about thus far, capital investments and some of those major things, because that we're talking mostly operations here, but. You know, if we go forward, we can talk about the scope and how you'd like that focused. You bet.
You have later on the agenda an item to discuss specifically the proposal and what you believe your next steps ought to be. We're not under an immediate time pressure to, you know, say yes or no. We're really very early in the discussion stages, but if council chooses to proceed, then you know, I think we need to spend some time talking about what specific handful of questions we want to get answered first, and you know, give that back to Craig so that then he can begin to start refining the proposal. I mean, if it's, do we really want some of the process kinds of things refined? You know, do we want to know that our front desk operations run efficiently without waste? We want to look at building permits, some of those kinds of things. Then we can refine a proposal, you know, further and come back in the first of the year.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the workshop.
Do we need a motion to close it or just close it?
Just close it. Yeah. Yeah, just close it.
7:34, it looks like. We'll declare the workshop closed and open the regular council meeting. Would everyone please rise for a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could I get everyone to stand for a moment of silence? And if you would please keep in your thoughts Bill Evans and his family and all the families that need special thoughts at this time. Thank you. Madam Secretary, are you okay? Okay. Are there any additions, deletions to the public agenda?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the published agenda.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
Aye. Councilman
Thornton?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Minutes, executive session of 11:05:07. Are we going to just swim all together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Executive session of 11:19:07 and council meeting of 11:19:07. Is there a motion to accept?
Move to accept the minutes of the executive sessions and the council meeting of 11:19.
Second.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
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 Yes.
Aye.
Do we need to do anything on the resolution? The resolution? This
or
CDBG?
Yeah, we'll do that when we get down to it's item 8A.
Go downstairs.
Okay. Yeah, we can do our resolutions without, that's their own public hearing.
Okay, reports. Presiding officer, that's me. I have my report from my trip. I'll pass that out to council. One of the things that I did in New Orleans was, along with 200 other mayors and council persons, we built a park, and it was in the National Cities newspaper that comes out. We started in the morning, and we worked until 5 o'clock that night, and we started from scratch. And when we were finished, we started from scratch with lumber. And when we were finished, we left with a whole playground. So that was very rewarding, and as the people in New Orleans told me, that I left a piece of Smyrna there. That was very nice. Another class that I went to was called Breath of Fresh Air into Old Downtowns. And this was a company through the National League of Cities. They have had a 100% success rate with the towns that they've worked with. And what they do is they come in and they'll do an assessment of your whole town. They do a survey of your whole town. And they'll give you a written proposal on businesses that they feel will be successful in your town and things that you can do for your town. As I said, they say they have a 100% success rate, and it is through the National League of Cities. I have emailed them and asked them for additional information. I gave council the information that I picked up down there, but I would really like us to take a look at that as soon as I get the additional information. The only other thing along that line, we had a little confusion that I'd like to just set the record straight. The contract for the airline ticket was between Southwest Airlines and the Delaware League of Local Government. I brought a contract with me so everybody could see the contract. And that partly was my fault, because when the bill was submitted under Tranquility Travel instead of the Delaware League of Local Government.
And I think it's a pretty good idea. We've got one question. Mm-hmm. Did you get a permit while you were building this playground?
I hope they had it. It was very interesting. It's been 2 years since Katrina, and it was amazing to see the devastation and the widespread devastation. You don't realize it until you're actually there. But in 2 years' time, it's been amazing of what they have accomplished also. So if anybody gets the chance to go, it's well worth it. Mr. Chaywar?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Among other things, in the past 2 weeks, we did finally close on the Johnson property. So now, in order to complete the town parking lot project, there's one more piece of property, a small piece that has to be acquired. And I think Mr. Hugg may have had some success in talking with the lady, so I don't know where that stands, but hopefully that'll be wrapped up.
Chief Baldwin?
Mayor, you should have in your in front of you this evening information on our new hire, Evans Leedy, who worked for us about 10 or 11 years ago. As a dispatcher, he came as a certified police officer. We're happy to have him on board.
Mr. Huff?
Thank you. You have my report in your file, but I would like to take a minute to update everyone on Billy Evans' condition. I talked to his sister about 2 hours ago. For those of you who don't know, Billy Evans was severely injured last Wednesday morning in an electrical accident. He is in Crozier Chester Medical Center in their burn center. According to his sister, they have removed the bandages from most of his face and head today. They see significant improvement in the condition of his burns on his face. The burn on his head appears to be healing on its own, and they're very pleased that that's occurring. He is still on a ventilator. He has a slight case of pneumonia. They're not terribly worried, but they are keeping an eye on that as well. For all practical purposes, he's over the most critical period, but as I'm sure Dr. Chervenak would add, burn patients sometimes take a major turn for the worse some days afterwards, so he's certainly by no means out of the woods. There was some concern about whether there was damage to his eyes as a result of the flash. They did report that his pupils are reactive to light and seem to be His eyes seem to be in good condition. They don't know for sure whether he can actually what he can actually see because he is still somewhat sedated. The most severe injuries were to his left arm and shoulder and the left side of his chest. He does have good nerve response and good motion in his left hand, good blood flow and good pulse rate in left arm. It sounds kind of gruesome, but they said his left arm was bleeding fairly much this afternoon, which is actually considered a good sign because it means the underlying tissues are healthy. He will need some skin grafts, but at this point they aren't sure to what extent. They are still limiting visitors, mostly because the facility at Crozier Chester doesn't have much in the way of accommodations for visitors, and you have to gown up and put on latex gloves and a mask and whatever to go in and see him. So they're still asking visitors to refrain from coming. He is able to get cards. They're putting them in kind of a basket, so when he does fully recover from or come out of medication from being sedated, and if anyone wants to, I think I put them on the council table, but it's William Evans, care of the Burn Center at Crozier Chester Medical Center, 1 Medical Center Boulevard, Upland, Pennsylvania, 19013. And I have the address up here. I'll give everybody a copy of it tonight before you go. Other than that, last week was just one of those weeks. Billy's obviously being the most critical, but in the middle of the week, the leaf machine broke down, and, of course, it's 20 years old, and you can't find parts for it. Fortunately, there's a little guy over in Chestertown someplace who makes radiators for antique farm equipment and was able to fix it, so the leaf machine is back on the road. And we had a slight incident with the contractor and the people who were financing the sewer pump that's supporting the bypass sewer system out at the Sunnyside Road. He wanted to take his pump and go home because it hadn't been paid for it. So it was not a particularly good week, but we got through, and things are progressing.
If I may dovetail your comments, I happened to be at Crozier when they opened the Burn Center as an intern, and it was an excellent facility then, and it's in the right place. It sounds very hopeful from what you're describing to me. Second, I would like to laud it's a bad week for the electrical department. They had to dig up my front yard for a broken wire, but they did an excellent job of preserving a small patch of ground. Very well, despite the fact that I had heavy-duty machinery hanging out there. The second thing is last night I was out in the rain to find out why my side of the city was dark, and somebody hit a telephone pole, and they were out there in the rain putting a new telephone pole up. Although we were out for a while, I have to laud them. I mean, they're out there in a real mess doing their job. In a dangerous environment, I'd just like to say that these guys are great.
Thank you.
Before we open the meeting to visitors, I received a letter in the mail. I'll pass these out. From Mr. and Mrs. Maxey about the house that burned on South Street. They had requested a response in writing and they hadn't received it, so Mr. Hugg, would you be able to have something put in writing and sent to them?
Yeah, we did. I did provide information, I believe, to Mayor and Council, but we will put it in the form of a written letter to Mr. Maxey. The house has been sold. The new owner is in the process of securing financing, but I will put the response in writing.
Okay, under committees. I'm sorry. Do we have any committee reports?
The Finance Committee met on November 27th. Of course, the main topic of discussion was the 2008 budget. We have started to review the budget draft and going going through line by line. We're about a third of the way through. In other business, Gary Stuhler recommended, which is actually comes up on the agenda later on, recommended contracting with a consulting service, which we'll discuss it later on, but it looks like it's a pretty good idea, and we'll free up Gary and his staff to concentrate on other things and possibly speed up the audit process and get us a timely audit.
The next
The next finance committee meeting is tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Right downstairs. Again, I would strongly urge all members of council to attend, as we are going through the budget. It's a good way to become familiar with the process, and not only the process, but what's in the budget and what isn't.
And then Thursday morning, we have a business development at 8.
The 13th.
I'm sorry. I'm a week early because we've changed it.
18th is or the 13th is the meeting.
13th.
And we held our workshop retreat. What was that? November 26th? November 26th?
Mm-hmm. 20th.
November 20th. November 20th. I'm very happy. It's something I've asked for since before I was elected. I thought that it was very good. A lot of things surfaced, and hopefully we need to have some more, but hopefully we're getting our ideas on the table, and we're a new council. We had said that after the election, that the oldest time served on a councilman is Bill Presley, and then we have 3 years. Councilman Chervenak is into his end, Valerie, right? And Councilwoman White are into their third year. So we have young years for serving on council, and we're going to make mistakes. And, you know, we asked before for people to be patient with us, and I think the public has been, and we're moving along. And I thought the workshop was great, and I hope the rest of the council felt the same.
I have a comment on the workshop. To be honest, I was not a proponent by any stretch of the imagination. But it was a good workshop, and probably one of the best parts of it were the fact that the members of council got a better understanding of the other members of council and how they think, and I think we discussed a lot of things, and we came up with a lot of great ideas, I think. But I think that aspect of it was probably the best, at least for me. And I appreciate everybody that was there and our input.
And we didn't hoop and holler.
And we didn't even holler at each other, which is
unusual. We didn't even raise our voice one time, I don't think.
Pretty cool.
Did we?
That was a bad workshop.
Very good.
Bad workshop.
She's looking at me.
Uneventful. Yeah.
Now, I don't think we should expect that every time.
I was saving it.
We'd also like to thank Ron and Ellen Sayers. They have presented a check to the town to pay for this skating display on Lake Como through March. So we thank them very much for their donation. This part of the meeting is open to visitors. It's your chance to address council. We ask you to step up to the microphone and give your name and address. You are limited to 3 minutes, and we please try to need to keep it to 3 minutes. Council is not obligated to respond tonight. Would anyone like to step forward?
Madam Mayor, if I could, I'd like, before we do that, ask Superintendent, I think she's back. There she is. Mrs. Wicks, if she would come up, and because we have an item 7A, which is safe routes to school, and then take up other items. But this is also on your agenda tonight for action at this point.
This is just a program that I'm doing. The Smyrna School District is doing with the town of Clayton, and we've also met to do it with the town of Smyrna. We're looking at safe routes to school for children, and the DelDOT is sponsoring this. There is money for sidewalks and money for new crosswalks and money for flashing lights, and so we're trying to take advantage of that, working together with the school, in this case North Elementary. We hope that we'll come up with a plan that will be beneficial to all of us. Dave brought with him the plans for Dave, what's the
Greens Branch,
and it was something that I think council's aware of, looking at the handicapped accessibility of that road. And so working together, hopefully we're going to get that paid for, at least a certain part of it. And I've been working now with the town of Clayton. You know, when you work with the federal government, it takes a little while, and it's kind of a convoluted system. But hopefully we will have it down by the time we get to our North Elementary application, which we're sending in this week. We will have it down to a science, and hopefully in May there will be some results to the town of Clayton's and the town of Smyrna's applications. So we're just working together for the best for our children.
Ms. Wicks, is this a one-time event, or is this going to be an ongoing federal program from here on out?
I don't know. I think there is a lot of money in it because it takes a while to take advantage of it. So if we get this system down, we can do other projects. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to target the kindergarten center next, or possibly the middle school.
I think it's elementary schools only.
It's only elementary
schools? Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it'd be Smyrna Elementary possibly if there was some areas. And when you start to look at the areas with a parent, with parents and with the administration of the school, you notice that there are certainly things that could be improved. Crosswalks can be improved, and there are newer ways to do them, and just a variety of things that we can do together. But certainly the town will know, and you know, we will follow the town's lead in what they need to be done and just work together.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mrs. Wick said ask that the town send a letter of support, or include a letter of support, and I stuck my neck out a little bit and suggested that maybe a resolution to council would be somewhat more, I don't know, forceful perhaps. So we've developed the resolution that's in your packet, and I would ask that council at this time consider that resolution so we can go ahead and have it signed and send it in with the application.
Madam Mayor, I'll make a motion that we accept the resolution as presented for Safe Routes to School program.
A second?
A second.
Any discussion?
Presley, aye.
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 Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
I'll leave this. You can make a copy, possibly.
Good evening. My name is Tom Maxey. You were handed a packet tonight, November the 5th. I was here also, and I brought in a packet. And I also have some other things here. I have received a phone call earlier in the week from Ms. McKinney stating that the fire marshal cannot do anything about this house. It's in your town ordinances, folks. You guys can't read these things that have been made for this town. I'll be more than glad to sit down and read them for you, because you're breaking them every time you turn around. This house is an eyesore. It's costing me money. It's costing me problems. I just had a drug house bust around the corner from me. I'm losing value on my home. What is this town going to do? Keep putting it off? Oh, it's been sold. To who? Another slumlord? someone is going to put three or four more families in there, just like last time illegally that I came to the town about before. This goes on and on and on. It's the same old thing. We have new people on this council, but the same stuff keeps going on. Basically, you want to get rid of me? It's real simple. Buy my house. I want to leave. I want to go like that. But I'm not ready to go yet. But if I was to sell my house today, I would lose anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000 because of that eyesore. You say it has to be boarded up? You call cheap paneling boarded up? Would anybody like to go over there and watch me rip one off the off of the door, a window, just like this? It could be done. Look at those wires hanging. That's how it was all year, for 2.5 years. If you don't believe me, ask Mr. Robinson. Ask the tallies on the other side of that house. How much longer are we going to put up with it? How much longer is this house going to be left open like that to be turned into a mold factory? I have health issues, and that's also going to affect my health. Look at the roof. Look at the debris on that roof. Would you want your child to be walking by and have that fall down on them? I sure wouldn't. What's wrong with this town? Seriously. What is wrong with this town? We're all intelligent people. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that this house is condemned, needs to come down, not be sold and repaired, but to be torn down. I am going to be a pain from this night on. I don't care what it it costs me. I don't care if I have Chief Baldwin talk to me. I don't care who. This house, if it gets rebuilt, it's rebuilt the way it is. Historic district, that's another section, 19. That's also in your town ordinances. Want copies of that? I can get them for you, too, if you don't have them. The house has to be rebuilt on the outside the same way. Single family dwelling. Not four families living in it. So, I'll wait for your reply like I tried last time. I asked for 2 weeks later. I know I'm not going to get an answer now. I know I'm getting some blank, dirty looks, and that's fine. I always get them. Bottom line is I want something done about this house. Next time, it's going to be not our local newspaper, but maybe the News Journal, WBOC. How much more do you want me to go through here? I'm talking for me right now. Neighbors are squabbling too. Do something about this house. Thank you.
Anyone else like to step forward?
You ain't got nothing to worry about.
Okay, thank you. We're not involved right here.
My name is John Gray, 105 Golden Plover Drive in Bombay Woods. This is, I'm asking you to waive the 5-foot assessment that they have on the back of my house so I can install my fence all the way out. I have pictures of my backyard there. My shed is 6 foot off the property line as it stands right now. If I move that fence to 5 feet, then the fence is 1 foot behind my shed. I've already bought and paid for all the material. There's a picture of it right there in the included with that. I can't move the fence down the side of my house because I have the landscaping there. I'd have to tear up all kinds of landscaping. So I'm agreeing. There's a letter right on the front. My wife and my signature agreeing that If you need the fence moved, I'll move the fence. In your ordinance, it says that that may be waived.
Mr. Gray, I have some questions for you. What does your HOA say about this, first and foremost?
We don't really have an active HOA right now. There's nothing there. The other one took the money and ran. They're trying to get Emery Hill in there now.
But you do have an active charter, correct?
That I know of, no.
I believe you do for Bombay Woods. That's why I like to see that first and foremost.
I got to say, John and Bernie, since I've been on council, we have done, Gina, and we've done quite a few of these over there for the same thing.
Right.
And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, we have okayed them, but they've had to sign a letter that we've put in our town that if we got to tear that fence down, it's on their cost and all that. Mr. Gray had called me, and I had went over there and looked at it a couple weeks ago. Dave, I don't know if I know with the week that you had, I don't know if you got a chance to go over there.
But I know.
The other problem was there's so many easements that we keep putting over top of. But on over in this development, you guys do have it does end up being a problem. And I don't know how many we've agreed to do over there. I mean, I can't talk for all the council, but
Have you talked to your neighbors, Mr. Gray, too? Are they okay with this?
Yeah, they're fine with it. Everybody that lives around me is fine with it. There's no problems. There's no flood zone there. I'm up above where the drainage is. I'm three or four houses up from that.
Would you be willing to get letters from their neighbors also saying they'd waive?
I had letters sent to them from the town, and they agreed to it. They've all...
That's part of the variance process.
That's right. I don't have a problem with this.
Well, I didn't know that.
I'm just a little curious what the easement is for.
In case you ever have to run utilities back there is what I was told. And
it's
an
inactive utility easement, Dave?
I believe it's an, yeah.
All our utilities are out in front of the property.
My understanding it is a utility easement. The difficulty in Bombay Woods, as you well know, Gene, is that you know, we've had a series of drainage issues out there, and fences and drainage easements and all kinds of things. I was under the impression, and Mr. Thornton, maybe you can update me, that the HOA was now active, and I kind of agree with Mr. Brown that one of the first steps in this process ought to be to make sure that, I mean, you know, if the Homeowners Association has a process, which they should have, for dealing with these kinds of issues, then it should go there and then come to the town if that's...
They did come to our house last week.
Okay, so then they are active then?
Not as far as I know. We haven't paid any dues. Okay, and I was told that...
Let me interject here, something if I may. I had occasion to work with some folks over there several months ago concerning the pond in the back. And... you're right. The first folks that ran the HOA apparently didn't do a real good job. So they did bring Emery Hill in, and they're getting the book straightened out and so forth. So to say succinctly, there is an active HOA going on, and they're in the process of I guess getting the dues collected and so forth. So I agree with Councilman Brown. That's one area of concern that we have. That the HOAs are involved in these kinds of things.
Well, he's involved. Peter Zarinsky, I believe his name is, came out to the house himself and looked and said we just needed to fax him a letter. Okay. They initially did not agree to a 6-foot fence, but there's other ones in the neighborhood, and he said those are there. We have to send them the information once we get the approval.
Okay.
I'll tell you this, Mr. Gray, for myself, I would make a motion to grant this, but on the stipulation that you bring a letter in to give to Mr. Hugg from your home association before we'll okay this. If you could bring that letter in and they're okay with it,
we'll do it.
I'll make a motion to accept this tonight.
We'll fax the letter tomorrow morning then.
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
And just send it to Dave's attention. Dave, is that all right?
Right, and we'll put it on the next agenda.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
McKnight, 735 Radnor. A couple of weeks ago, I approached Dick Baldwin and asked him about some type of a stop sign on Bonnier Lane. And he said that a member of our civic association said one was not needed. Well, I walked to 174 houses. Six are empty. I have gotten 111 signatures who do indeed think we need one. Can we have one? And what happened to our lines that we requested 2 weeks ago? Is that still in order or in limbo or what?
We didn't get it in time to put it on the agenda. It'll be on next week's agenda.
Pardon me?
It'll be on the next agenda.
Which, the lines or my request tonight?
The lines.
My request tonight, could that be on attached to the line agenda?
Sure.
Okay, and I'll give you the... And I have a couple of things for Mr. Hogg. But first, the electric company did a fantastic job. And our prayers are with Billy. And Mr. Hogg, how in the world did Appleberry cross over Bonnier Lane into Gemcraft about 400 feet? How in the world did that happen? One development went into the other with the street. Because as they're putting the houses in Gemcraft, no way is the house going to be facing that would have an address on Appleberry.
Okay, you're talking about... Okay, I'm trying...
All right. Please don't tell me that happened 30 years ago because Steiner sold that to Gemcraft recently, or it was a grandfather's cause.
You're talking about the connecting entrance from Bonnier Lane into...
Yeah.
How did
that happen? Who did it?
It was probably...
She's going after him.
I don't know. It would have been on the subdivision... it would have been on the subdivision plan, probably as an extension of Appleberry Drive.
But that is not Bonnier Community.
No, but I mean the street naming isn't necessarily limited to, you know, to your development. I mean there are streets that run, you know, through developments from one side to the other to a subsequent development, South Street, for example.
Oh, I understand that, but I mean the same name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
and when developers tear down all the tree lines when they come in and do their development, are they obligated to put a tree line up to separate the two developments?
They're only obligated to put up the whatever's called for in their landscaping plan. If it's residential against residential, there's no requirement that they put any kind of vegetated separation or division. If it's residential against or vice versa, commercial or some other use, then they are required. There's a required buffer zone that goes in. But when a development is approved, there's a landscaping, basically a clearing, and then a landscaping plan. And the landscaping plan identifies where trees will be placed and, you know, new trees planted and that kind of thing. But, no, there is no tree line requirement.
Yeah, that's a shame because that's rape of the land. Yeah. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to step forward? No one step forward. We will close this portion of the meeting and open the regular council meeting. Under 8A, Old Business, Resolution Reference Number, Reference 2008 CDBG.
Madam Mayor, there's we do this every year. The town, in conjunction with the levy court of Kent County, has designated the county as the administrative agency for the Community Development Block Grant. That's what CDBG stands for. We do two resolutions. We do a resolution that allows Levy Court, the Kent County Levy Court, to administer the program on our behalf if, in fact, it's funded. And then we do a resolution basically supporting the Community Development Block Grant. These funds are used primarily for housing improvement, housing assistance to low-income families. They're typically take the form of weatherization grants, sometimes heating, electrical utilities, that kind of thing, roofing repairs. Years ago, we used to get, we being the state and the county, substantial amounts of money in the Community Development Block Grant Program, and the town would regularly apply for and in many years receive funding for infrastructure improvements on a number of streets where there's a concentration of deteriorated houses. Program funds are limited to the point now where the majority of the funds are used strictly for housing repairs for low-income and minority families, and we traditionally do this every year. I do notice that the resolution. Actually, Carol, you were really having a good day today. Patty Levycourt did it.
Someone's
okay.
Passing the buck right away.
But I fixed it.
But she fixed it.
She did.
Okay. Anyhow, the correct resolution identifies the current mayor and has the correction. This is basically a housekeeping thing. As at the beginning of our meeting tonight, Albert Biddle from the Kent County Community Development Agency is required to hold a public hearing, and I suspect he spent a half an hour sitting by himself downstairs. But usually this is not something well attended, but it is a program that we do support.
So does this mean that the town of Smyrna gets money for? No.
No, this basically authorizes the county to spend money in Smyrna for this program.
Okay.
And they administer the program. And it's a very limited number of houses that get funding.
It used to be a bigger program. It's just whittled down to nothing.
We used to do 10, 12, 15 houses.
Yeah,
and they used to have a lot of contractors bidding on it now.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adopt a resolution for the community development block grant with the change on the second line to Her Honor. And included in that motion to accept the resolution for importance of fair housing for the citizens of Smyrna.
I'll second. One question, Dave. Where do they go to get these applications? They go to County Levy Court, or they go to the town hall?
They go to Levy Court.
Levy Court.
They work through Levy Court. Actually, through Albert Biddle in the Community Development Office in Kent County.
Community Development Office. And when would these funds become available? 2008.
This would be the July. Yeah, July. The funding for next year.
July of 2008.
Later January. It's July. I'm pretty sure it's July.
But they do it like quarterly. They have new applications all the time.
They take applications regularly.
Okay.
In fact, they go on a priority list. And
okay. Thank you.
We have a first and second roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
Motion passes. 8B, second reading, ordinance number 015-07, reference ordinance number 015-07, Chapter 2, Administration, reference actions of committee, commission members.
I'll make a motion to accept the second reading of 015-07.
I'll second.
Discussion. To be quite honest, I don't remember reading this on November 19th.
I
read it. I read it in my.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
Sorry, really.
I have a question and a concern. I guess I'll state my concern first. No member of any committee, actually no member of this council, can go up to an employee of the town and order them to do something.
They do.
We don't have that right. The only one that has that right is Mr. Hugg. We have gone through many rather spirited discussions on this over the years, and I just don't see... I don't see the need for this other than reminding town staff that they do have the right to defer to the manager anytime they're asked to do something. And I don't see the need to complicate things with an ordinance.
Gene, just in my, what it is just a reminder, basically, and like you say, to make sure we all know what we're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, it's in the ordinances already, Mr. President. So, I mean, I guess this is a superfluous document.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I spoke to Mr. Hugg before I did this, before I brought it up, and the concern is that so that no member of a committee goes outside of their responsibilities in contacting town employees and asking them to do something without first at least calling you, Mr. Mullen, as the chair and say, this is what I'd like to do, and then you either contact Mr. Hugg or you go from there so that the town employees are not doing things or they're contacting other government agencies on behalf as a member of a committee.
Well, I'll tell you what my concern
is. Mr. Hugg can, you know, because I did speak to him before I brought this up, and it was a concern.
Yeah, I think the code is clear in terms of members of council coming to town employees, but I think it's either silent or certainly not clear as to whether a committee person on their own.
Well, what about a citizen? Do we have an ordinance for any citizen?
You don't have. You can vote however you want to vote.
But what I'm saying is that do we have an ordinance for any citizen coming in and saying, I want to know this, I want that, to a town employee?
Most of the citizens go to the front window.
No, right. But what I'm saying is that any citizen, I guess what I'm saying is that if council can't do it, you know, I understand where you're going with this, but on the other hand, do we need another ordinance that says no citizen, period? End of story.
No, because I didn't do this or suggest that it be done to apply to the citizens of this community. It's for our commissions and our committee members are doing things as a committee for the town to bring to council.
The point is that can any citizen walk up and demand any employee of the town to do anything?
They could, but they don't have it.
Is there
an ordinance?
No, they can't.
I know, but is there an ordinance to do that?
Okay, can I say something, please? This, even with this, even if we do this, it is not going to solve the problem. The problem is we do not have written policy. I have said this over and over again. The committees come on. A lot of these people have never worked on a committee for the town of Smyrna before, maybe no committees. There is no written guidelines to give the committees to tell them what their obligations are, what their responsibilities are, and what they should or could, cannot do. That's where the problem lies. If we can come up with a written policy, I've requested this before, if we can come up with written policy that we could give to the people, they'll know what their responsibilities and limitations are. Even if you pass this, a lot of them are not going to get to read this. And then they're going to be breaking an ordinance, which is not fair.
And that's part of my concern. And I'm not saying this isn't needed. It may be. But the way I look at it, the function of the committee is to advise council. They shouldn't be going outside that realm doing things unless they're gathering info for whatever project they're working on or whatever to present to council. So, I mean, I don't see them working with town staff telling them to do something if they're just gathering info.
Well, I guess, Gene, it's happened, so we need to make sure it don't happen again.
What happened?
I don't think that person needs to say. I think y'all just call for a vote.
If I can comment on one thing before you do that, one of your recommendations as a council at your workshop that Councilman Thornton in particular has volunteered to sort of lead is this notion of a handbook or primer, whatever it is, not unlike, don't cringe over there, Terry, not unlike the thing that Bethany Beach at least had started to work on, but something that does actually become kind of a guidebook for how committees function, how council functions, and whatever. And I think that there seemed to be a lot of support that we do that. That would address many of these questions. And I think that some of these things, I mean, you do kind of create a catch-22 because you ask people to be part of a committee, and I'll speak for the Business Development Committee, which is not the one that this was triggered from. You know, members of that committee do ask, you know, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we make a list of vacant buildings? Can we? And, you know, the normal response is sure. I mean, that's because I look at the committees as also being sort of the extended council in terms of what they're asking for. And it's only when it becomes, a question of whether the committee itself endorsed the effort or not that you maybe run into this problem where, you know, a committee member may on their own go off well-intended to do something and, you know, they ask somebody on staff, can you put me in contact with so-and-so, or would you call XYZ Denrec and see if you can get, you know, some information. I don't see this as particularly onerous. I kind of agree that, you know, it ought to be sort of the way we work anyhow, but in reality, you know, it's not unusual for, and I'm looking at Mr. Presley, for people on his committee in particular, and it, like I said, it wasn't what drove this, but to say, you know, how about you guys doing X, Y, Z? And, you know, I sort of take that as, unless Mr. Presley says, heck no, it's probably what you would say.
Yeah, probably most times.
You know, I take that as kind of a, okay, you know, it is a request of staff, and to the extent we can do it, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't.
And I think, well, the problem is, and you're right, Dave, but I guess the problem is everybody asked, always got to take, instead of just taking a little bit, they got to keep on taking and keep on taking. And I guess what it is, with all those, much of the towns growing, all the committees, and I just sit here and I thought on the two that I chair, and I'm going to actually tell them at our next meeting, if they have anything, it needs to come through me or yourself before it goes anywhere, because it can be confusing, because most people, instead of just asking a little bit, they keep taking and taking and taking. Next thing you know, you got an hour of your time that could have been taken care of. Maybe I've already know the answer or something like that.
Well, matter of fact, if I could just make one observation, it seems to me that I don't think there's any question that everybody understands that a member of the council, a member of the committee, cannot go to a staff member without going to the town manager. I don't think that's really the issue. It seems to me that the ordinance
not
is trying to
the town manager. This is to the chairman.
I know. Well, it seems to me what this ordinance is trying to do is set up a chain of command within the committee itself, basically saying, I'm not sure it should be the committee chairman as such as the committee action. The committee votes by majority vote that they want to do thus and such, and then that person comes to the town manager or the chief. That's what I think that this ordinance is trying to get at. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it does that quite clearly, but that's what I think the intent is.
But if the committee votes, then that sends the action to the town manager.
Correct.
But what's happening now, some of the committees just jump and do it without asking the rest of the members.
But if it's an actual item, if it's an actual take
specific thing.
Well, I mean, the only thing that comes into my mind, take Parks and Rec. Okay, say they develop a program, and this is just hypothetical. And they develop a program, and they go ahead and go with it. That's not their function. That if the finance committee came up with something, a plan to save money and change the accounting practices, and we went ahead and Gary did that. That's not what a committee should be doing. The committee should be reviewing the information, making a motion to present it to council. That's the only thing a committee does. They review the information, and if they think it's valid and they think that council needs to see it, they make a motion. It's voted on by the majority of the committee and presented to council. council takes the action to do X, Y, Z, whatever it is. It's not that committee. And other than gathering information, a committee chair or a committee member shouldn't be doing anything. And if it's information that takes a lot of staff time, then that committee needs to come back to council, and council needs to direct Dave to provide the committee with the information. That's how the system is supposed to work. Is it how it's working here? Probably not. But I don't know.
And you're right, Dean, and that's what's I think that's what's happening. A lot of the committee members are jumping over the gun and going to Carol or Dave and saying, can we have this information to gather it up, and taking time away from Carol or Dave or whoever it is. They're taking that time out instead of coming as a committee, and the committee says, you know, yeah, we want to do this. Let's send it to Dave and then go from Dave. Dave, this is what we want. Can you get it together for us? And then we send it to the council, or we bring it back to the committee and say, yeah, this is what we want. We don't want to send this to the council. And I think what's happening is more committee members are trying to take Dave and Carol's and town employees' time up.
But if we had the written guidelines so that they would know, that would solve that problem. I have a question for Mr. Jaywork. Mr. Jaywork, mm-hmm. Is there a penalty for breaking this ordinance? In the charter, the $1,000 fee and or 30 days in jail, is that just for charter or is that for ordinances?
I'm going to
reserve judgment. I don't think that we're going to put anybody in jail or fine $1,000 for asking.
Please, it's warm.
Asking. I just like to get focused again. I think the intent of this ordinance is to set up a protocol that basically says that a member of a committee cannot on his own go off and ask town staff or the town manager to collect information.
Well, I want to know.
I think we all agree they can't ask them to get the town staff to actually do something, but as I think everybody recognizes, the committee's job is to gather information. Well, sometimes gathering information, he's going to go to Dave Hug or the chief and say, I need this information. An individual member of a committee should not be allowed to do that. It should go through the committee.
But they need to know that.
Right, and so I would suggest simply, if you allow me possibly, just to rewrite this ordinance to say that and bring it back to you for either second or third reading at the next meeting. I think that's the consensus.
I'd still like to know about the penalty.
Let me ask another question, guys and ladies. What about if we come up with a procedure and policy just for the committees?
Well, I was going to suggest as part of the document that we talked about at the workshop that I volunteered to try to put together. Part of that was dealing with committees as well. So
if that would suffice.
You know, the question is lettering on ordinances versus procedures for committees. On the one hand, you have something that governs what council can do, but it leaves out it stands silent on committees, which is not good. So you don't have any direction, so to speak. So it seems to be we have a controversy between layering ordinances versus a regulation or a procedure. I'm open to either way, really.
Ms. White, this is your thing. You decide.
Reword it. Draw your motion. I'll make a motion.
I will withdraw my motion.
Okay. You want to just table it?
No, I'll make a motion to have this sent to town attorney for rewording.
Second.
I'll second it.
Roll call. Councilman Thornton?
Aye.
Councilman Long?
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Rusty, aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Okay. 8C, invoice from WT Surveyors, reference 25 East Mount Vernon Street.
There's really kind of two issues here, I guess, that we need to touch base on. One, at an earlier meeting, council wished to hold a special workshop to deal with some of these issues related to the grading and other problems at the Delaware House. And at that council meeting, this issue was put aside. I believe I'm correct that council is not intending or does not want to hold that workshop. The situation we have here is that a former manager, employee, Keith Fletcher, authorized this work to be done. There is a signed document in the file with his signature on it that is a proposal for work for which this invoice is submitted. I think we have a legal obligation to pay WT and Sun Surveying. They were performing work that was at least on its surface authorized by an agent of the town of Smyrna, and they are entitled to be paid for it. Whether Mr. Fletcher had the authority to sign that document or whether he was directed to by someone who he believed had the authority to authorize that is an issue we can discuss if we choose to at another time. But I really think, in all fairness, we owe this person this amount of money. They performed a service in good faith, and I think we have an obligation to pay them, and we can deal with why.
I move that we pay WT and Son Surveying Consultant the balance due, $1,420.
I'll second that.
Go ahead.
And I got to tell you, when I saw this thing in my packet, I spent about an hour and a half of my time basically running grades on this lot, and talking to Carl and the contractor that was supposedly going to do the work. And I'll tell you what, I'm in the wrong business. Because running grades took about a half an hour. Convincing Carl to do the right thing took about another half an hour, and then talking to his contractor. And to get a bill through the town for something that was totally unwarranted, it to me is ridiculous. $1,400, that's...
I'm William T. Witches.
Would you step up to the microphone, sir?
Mr. Witches, I don't doubt that you performed the service.
I am
doubt
a registered professional land surveyor.
That is fine. What I am concerned with is the need to have you do that in the first place. It was a small drainage problem. Could have very easily been solved quite quickly.
Did you talk to the pickets?
I talked to the picket several
times. I was at the site and basically was called in by Mr. Fletcher, and the pickets were there. We had to basically procure their agreement to allow us onto their property. We had to survey the portion of their property in front of their property. The problem did not sort of, it wasn't just one small thing. There was a dwelling that was allowed to be placed there in previous years. Then they allowed a driveway, which was elevated 2.5 feet, in front of the picket's door. It's got to be 4.5 to 5 feet from their door, and it's 2.5 feet below the grade of the driveway, and a small shed garage structure. Now, in my mind, there's a number of different things that could be done, but in speaking to the pickets, who were very upset, I mean, obviously, they feel that the town was partially responsible, Mr. Helton was partially responsible, and the gentleman who owns the house adjacent to them. So it was brought to my attention. I came down. I not only met with the pickets for over an hour, I surveyed most of their property, their fence line, had to reshoot all of the grades on Delaware House, and all of the adjacent land. So I do sympathize, but I run a small business.
Oh, believe me, you performed the service. You were told to do it. I have no problem with paying.
Ms. Payne.
Thank you very much.
Let's go ahead and call the roll.
Okay.
Aye.
Councilman Chauvin?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Presley, aye.
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 Motion passes. 8D, ICMA proposal reference efficiency audit.
Madam Mayor, if it's okay with council also, I'd like to make a motion to table this till next meeting. I just want a little bit further time to review their entire package before we move forward.
Second. Before you guys table it, can we send it to her? Can I get it okay to send this to my personnel and business development?
Why?
Just to ask them
for
their thoughts in it, because this kind of started from the personnel thing, just so they would have input to come back to this council with.
Why don't we table it and send it to all committees affected?
That's fine.
Okay. My intent to table it, though, is just I think the next meeting would be efficient to look at it. I just need a little bit more time. But right. Will all the committees meet by then and have a report?
Yeah. But this is actually
even if we don't do it until the 1st of January, I mean, we're under a self-imposed time schedule, not one imposed by anybody else. So
because this is exactly what it started from the personnel meeting, and I like to bring it back to my committee.
All right, motion to table until the next.
I'll
send it until the 17th.
Okay, first and second, roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Presley, aye.
Mayor
Stonebaugh?
Yes.
Yes. Do we put a date on, or we're just going to table it?
We'll just table it. We'll discuss it again at the next council meeting. Next. If we're not ready to act on it, we can continue it at that.
That's fine.
Because it actually, it commits to all committees. I mean.
Third, it passed. 8E, reference to Planning and Zoning Commission, Ordinance Number 016-07, an ordinance to amend Appendix A, zoning to permit, as special exceptions, cocktail lounges, bars, billiard parlors, or similar places of indoor entertainment exceeding 6,000 square feet and serving alcoholic beverages and offering live entertainment.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion. We accept for... Except for amendment, ordinance number 016-07. Refer it to planning and zoning.
Discussion.
What about the changes that we want on here?
There are actually.
Do you have any changes?
Yeah, what you have in front of you is a draft that has been through a couple of iterations since it was submitted to you. Mr. Barrows has gone through it in some detail with both Mr. Jaywork and I, and separately Carol has gone through it to look for procedural kinds concerns. We will have a cleaned up draft to go to planning and zoning for their meeting, which is the 19th. And then we'll come back to council at your first meeting in January. You'll be able to hold a public hearing, and you can still. I'll get you if there's. You'll have the amended the cleaned up and amended version, and if there are any other suggestions, get them to me.
I'd like to make one right now, if you don't mind. After indoor entertainment exceeding 6,000 square feet, and serving alcoholic beverages and offering live. Entertainment. I know what the intent of this was, and I think we need to have and or in both of those places, because as it stands now, if they have to meet all three of those entertainment venues more or less to qualify under this ordinance. If they met only one, we wouldn't have control of it. So I'd like to. And/or serving
so
alcohol,
they were basically a 6,000-square-foot bar or a 6,000-square-foot music.
Right.
Okay.
And subsequently throughout the ordinance.
Right. Okay. Mr. Jaywork, did you want to comment at all on any of the issues that
Not really. I mean, this is first draft. It's a work in progress. It's going to evolve probably by the time it gets to planning and zoning, and I'm sure it'll have more changes as council and the planning commission have input into it.
But I had promised you that I would have a draft of an ordinance for you for the next council meeting, but they actually were able to get it done in time for this one, so I wanted you to have it early.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Brown?
Yes.
Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Councilman
Thornton? Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Motion passes. 9, new business, 9A, request to abandon Paper Street adjacent to 58 Artisan Drive.
If you look at the materials submitted in your packet, the second page is a copy of the lot layout in the original section of the business park. When the business park was initially laid out, it envisioned a road extending from Artisan Drive to the whatever direction it is, sort of east, I guess, into the adjacent 189-acre parcel that subsequently became the Walmart site. As you know, there is a road now. The next road south is Walton Way, which is the entrance to the employee parking lot for Walmart, and there's a stormwater pond pretty much where the word subject property is on the Walmart site, so that road has no real value to them and has not been opened. It is still part of the property of the town of Smyrna. Prestwick House has expressed an interest in acquiring it. Under our rules, if the town council is inclined to do so, then the next step in the process, you would need to vote affirmatively tonight, and the next step in the process then would be to get it appraised, to notify the adjacent owners, set a public hearing in early January, and kind of walk through the process. I suspect that the owners of the next parcel over, which is we didn't look that one up, but I think it's Smyrna Park something LLC, I believe. I suspect that they may be interested in splitting that property with Prestwick House, but in either case, the decision to move forward is a council action.
Now, you want to abandon it, or do you want to sell it?
Well, we have to abandon it, and the abandonment process is that we have to determine what it's worth and offer it for sale.
Okay,
the step is to abandon the Paper Street, and then the procedures that are set out in the code.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to abandon it. Do you want a motion to start the process to sell it?
Yeah, basically what the motion is a motion to initiate the abandonment, and that'll take in all the appropriate steps.
Make a motion to abandon it.
Second.
Any further discussion?
A question, Dave. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You said something about stormwater retention?
On the, on the Walmart site.
All right.
Yeah. This is a stormwater.
Okay.
That's why the likelihood of that road ever being needed for access is
okay.
Just so everybody on council and in the audience knows, my wife works for Prestwick House. I don't know if I should recluse myself or what, but if we're just abandoning the street and it's not based on any sale, I don't think I have any problem.
I'm kind of in the same boat, Mr. Hug. My wife also works there, and I was just telling Kelton, is this one of those issues where I probably should abstain?
Are you making any money off of it?
I'm not,
No, but what I'm saying is, again,
I don't want there to be a hint of
I think, yes, both in both cases, yes. Right.
I think that's an appropriate motion.
Did somebody make a motion to abandon?
Okay. Well,
we did.
And technically, in the conference that Valerie and I went to, all you have to do is disclose it and say that you're not making any money. You can vote if you want to.
I'm not making any money, trust me.
All right, let's vote.
But I guess, but your wife's job, his wife's job, maybe, I think that.
I'm just going to abstain, Dr. Sherman.
It's good for you.
Call the roll.
Call the
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Presley,
aye.
Councilman
Thornton?
Yes.
I abstain.
And Councilman
Chervin?
Yes.
Councilman Brown?
Abstain.
Motion passes. 9B, the results of opening of bid openings, 2008 brass mowing and 2008 custodial service.
Okay. In your packets are the results of both of those contracts. The grass mowing contract was done in a different form this year than has traditionally been the form. It was done based on actual areas to be mowed or maintained as opposed to a flat rate per hour. As is often the case in these kinds of bids, the apparent low bidder for 1 year may not be the apparent low bidder for subsequent years and vice versa. Based on the review of the bids, the staff recommends as follows. We recommend, first of all, that the bid only be awarded for a one-year period. We recommend that, based on that, we award the bid to Marino's Landscaping, and we recommend that the town council consider amending the enforcement charge to raise it from $50 to $75. It's been kind of forever since it's been raised, which would require change to Section 74.74-30, paren 1. And that we reconsider the bid award again next year. Attached to your packet is some information that one of the bidders provided at your last meeting, and it sort of documents the difficulty in trying to bid multi-year that we have the same problem, I believe, although I didn't look at it. That you very often get a situation where someone bids low or high in 1 year and low or high in subsequent years. Hence our recommendation that we award it for a 1 year period. I will say that like a Diamond State,
Mr. Hogg, if you change the bidding requirements, I mean, did they submit their bids based on original expectation?
It's a one-year bid subject to basically a two one-year renewals. So it's up to us to determine whether we choose to award it for 3 years or 1 year.
Dave, can I ask you a question?
Kind of a
have we had any
process,
problems
though,
with Diamond State?
Not that I can. I mean,
it gets. I guess at the end of the day, I look at it at this bid as, have we had any problems with them? And still, in the long run, they're a lower bidder.
If you determine that you want to award a 3 year bid, then the recommendation would be to the lowest bidder over a 3 year period is Diamond State.
What's the advantage of going with a 1 year versus a 3 year contract?
I think the only reason we were suggesting that is that you do have this sort of significant deviation between, you know, the first year and the second years of these contracts. And
here's my concern: if we lock in a 3 year contract and for whatever reason gas gets up to $5 a gallon, we're not going to be paying for their price of cost of doing business increasing. If we do a 1 year contract, we expose ourselves to their energy and whatever else going up.
And conversely, the other way.
What was the bid actually based on? Was it based on 1 year or was it based on
3?
It was 1 year with a 2 year possible.
I mean yeah, when we sent out the invitation,
it's 1 year with one an year option, with a second and third year as an option, and we have the option to do any of those, any combination of those.
Looking at the growth rates provided, has anybody checked those out? I mean, are those accurate? And are the projected hours in 2008, is that accurate?
I don't know that we've done our own separate projections. It's who knows? The 07 hours are accurate hours. whether the growth rates would continue to be at that. I mean, to some degree, that's how aggressive we want to be as an enforcement. If we, you know, this year we were particularly aggressive with,
yeah,
with grass mowing and clearing up of lots. You know, if you chose to be equally aggressive or more so, then obviously those rates would be where they are. And if you chose to say, you know, we're going to focus our attention on dilapidated buildings or something else.
Dave, have we been in the process of doing only 1 year? Is that what we've been?
We always bid it.
Possibility of 2 1-year renewals.
So
now, why have we done it that way? I mean, why don't we just put it out for 3-year bid?
Well, this year we changed the format of our bids for one thing.
Thank you.
We bid it.
But that's the way we've all, since I've been here and preceding me, that's, we've always
I'm like most of the council. Well, y'all put it for 3 year and let them eat it. If it's $5 a gas, then it's their problem.
Well, again, conversely.
It's a $2 gas, which we all hope for.
I agree, probably.
I believe in long-term contracts.
I don't mind a 3-year
one. Yeah, $2 a gallon is not going to happen.
I don't either.
I mean, if you want to consider a 3-year bid, then I would suggest that you award the contract to Diamond State, because they are the low bidder over the 3-year period.
Based on the enforcement part, you know, they are the low bidder. And that's another.
I guess another thing.
That's another day. Half a police car right there.
Can we, at any time, for reasons, cut their contract?
Yeah, I mean, if they fail to perform, we can terminate the contract. Remember on the enforcement stuff that those are charges that we put back against the property owner. So, you know, because one of the issues that Diamond State raised was that Marino's per hour rate for enforcement is higher than what we currently charge. And so if you're going to go the direction of a 1-year contract with the apparent low bidder, you would need to raise that rate. And quite frankly, I think that rate ought to be raised to $500 an hour or something. I mean, if, you know, some of these people don't bother cutting their grass because they know that, well, it'll grow for, you know, they'll go 2 months and it'll cost them $50. It's kind of like, you know,
$5 a gas a gallon.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
that's pretty cheap lawn care.
I know. I was like, wait a minute.
For 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, if you're lucky enough not to be caught, you can go most of the summer and pay, you know, $150 fee, or maybe it's $100 if it takes a couple hours. So it's
based upon what I've read. I'm going to make a motion that we award a 3-year contract to Diamond State.
I'll second that.
But we, again, I guess as part of this motion meeting that we raised our rate.
I think that should be a separate item.
I think that has to be a separate item. I brought that up because if you do the 1 year, which is the, you know, like I say, what we've normally done, if you did the 1 year, then we would come back to you at the next meeting with an amendment to the ordinance to raise the rate.
Well, then that's what, okay. Because
We need to do something separately.
Why don't we add that to the Finance Committee agenda for not this meeting, but the next meeting?
Yeah,
Okay.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
We're voting on the motion without the
3-year.
Okay. 3-year, but the enforcement is a separate issue.
Yeah, separate issue.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So moved. Okay. Custodial service contract.
We have notified our current vendor that their services will be terminated at the end of this year. Their services have not been adequate or acceptable, and in fact, they didn't bid. right? They did not bid. The apparent, so I guess they got the message as well. The apparent low bidder for the custodial services is Home Helpers. I've checked; they're a low bidder by a fair amount across the board. I have checked their references. And the results I got back, the comments I got back were, you know, these guys do a good job. They're very conscientious. The people involved are, you know, are dedicated and whatever. So I feel very comfortable in recommending that we award the bid. And since you just previously did the, this is actually a four, they gave us a 4-year bid.
No, it's a 3-year. It's a 3-year.
So what's your recommendation?
Oh, 10 and 11. No, why we got 4. They ran it out that far, I guess. I would suggest that we then sort of following the same logic that we award this for 3-year period to Home Helpers with the same understanding that if they don't do a good job, we
okay. Make a motion to award the cleaning contract to Home Helpers for 3-year term at the rate posted on their bid.
Second.
Dave, are they from around here?
Does it? You would have to ask that question.
Who care?
Well, let's see. I will ask Mr. J. Work. Are they from around here? They do your offices.
No, they don't do my office.
They don't do yours. Uh-oh. Ah, they work for someone in your office. Okay. They work for a doctor in Dover.
Are they around the Dover area or somewhere?
They are in the Dover area because I see them all the time.
Yes, Bernie, it does make a difference.
Home Helpers.
just for the record, I've That's never heard of Home Helpers. So
you want to disavow any knowledge? Okay.
We have a first and a second. Aye.
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 Presley, aye.
Okay, 9C, recommendation of Finance Committee for proposal to provide financial management and or accounting service.
This is what I mentioned in the Finance Committee meeting notes. There is an agreement in your packet. I don't know if you've had a chance to read over it or not. Basically, if you look down in the payment section, Mr. Josiah is basically charging $60 an hour to perform services that we pay our auditor now about $180 an hour. So it is going to save us some money. Plus, it's going to free up Gary's time as far as getting things prepared for the audit, and hopefully we can actually have the audit done like the charter says.
Question for you, Councilman Mullen. So is this money currently in this budget or will it be in the 08 budget to pay him?
It would be in the 08.
This is in the 08 budget.
It's the 08 budget.
And you would take the money that you set aside from the 08 budget originally and reduce that.
For audit purposes.
So we would be experiencing cost savings.
Yes. Okay. This, in essence, is adding that internal audit function that the audit committee and the auditors themselves suggested would make good sense for us to do.
But we would not be using the auditors at that point anymore.
Right.
Well, they would still do the actual audit. But right now the auditors do a lot of the – they actually prepare the financial statements in preparation for the audit and then do the audit.
Okay. Simple 5-year-old question then. Cost savings.
Cost savings.
That's all I need to know. Okay. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Do we have a motion?
I move that we accept the bid proposal to contract with Tom Josiah.
For second? Yeah.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
I guess, can I ask exactly what this man is going to be doing?
He's preparing the financial statements that Gary usually prepares, or if Gary doesn't have time, the auditors prepare. And because Gary doesn't have time, we're paying the auditors. Like I said, we pay the auditors about $180 an hour.
Okay, let me ask you this. Then Tom Josiah is bound by some sort of ethical code of conduct, or, I mean, is he just somebody that we're hiring to?
If he's a CPA, he's bound by the state.
He is a CPA.
Oh, absolutely. He's got to follow.
He is a CPA. He is a CPA.
And CPA's got to follow GAAP at a minimum.
He originally worked for Barbara Keene Thornton, who is our auditor, and they highly recommend him as an internal auditor, which is a good step. I mean, it separates the preparation of the financial statements from the actual audit. It really isn't good practice to have your auditor do your financial statements. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not.
So then, therefore, the auditor then just merely examines the financial statements
and does their tests and whatever, but they have not prepared them so that way they can honestly say, you know, this is a totally independent review of the records of the town of Smyrna, blah, 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 which right now they can't actually legally say. This is a good step forward. This is really something we ought to do.
It's also a good cost saving step because you know, instead of $120,000 for the audit, you know, hopefully we'll get by with
118,
60 or 70.
I think it's been running 70, hasn't it?
Sounds good to me. Let's save some money.
We got a first and a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Aye.
Councilman Thornton.
Aye.
Councilman Bowen. Aye.
I had one more discussion point, but how many hours is it going to work?
Unknown.
Flexible, as needed.
I go, aye.
Brushly, aye.
Aye.
If he works 4,000 hours, we're not saving much money.
You had to ruin that, didn't you? Here I was. They sold me on the cost savings. Thanks a lot. Can I change my vote now?
Yeah. Just so you know, the Finance Committee will be monitoring.
Thank
his
you.
Activity. Okay, good.
You're responsible.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you cover the difference there, Councilman.
9C2, payment of invoices for Citizens Host Company.
I'm a little confused on this.
I didn't see anything in this. Oh, this is Jerry's paving.
Dave, have we got the money from this, from the state for this?
Don't you have to answer a phone call or out there someplace?
Oh, okay.
Hey, Seth, go check something. There's
Seth, you need to get one of those buttons
underneath
the desk.
Leaking, Seth, go do it.
Maybe that wasn't the question I needed to ask.
That wasn't the question you needed to ask.
How about if we just make a motion?
Why don't we just make a motion? We've discussed this. This is this money that comes from the legislature to the town because the legislature can't give the money directly to the fire company. Okay, I'm not going to say anymore.
All right, let's
put it this way. Can we afford to pay it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a question of whether.
But, I mean, are we going to?
We don't gain anything out of this.
Yeah.
We don't lose anything out of
this. We don't lose anything out of this, but it's...
But the money is there that we ain't going to eat out of our budget.
Right. It's a discussion that we really ought to have with the now Senator Ennis, because it's not a procedure that I'm comfortable with.
Yes, sir.
I suspect the council is.
Now, the state contract with these people, or do we contract?
Doug, shut up.
All right, Doug.
Okay.
I'm going to put my head on the chopping block. I'll make a motion that we satisfy the invoice from Jerry's Paving, reference the installation, removal, and everything of hot mix.
The invoice dated.
Can you see I'm dancing? Invoice dated 11-607, invoice number 7317.
What do you propose to do with Brick Doctor? Are you going to do that separately?
Oh, the Brick Doctor.
And include the Brick Doctor in that, too. Oh, wait a minute. Man, you're going to get me in trouble.
Is he a licensed doctor?
He is. What kind of doctor is a Brick Doctor?
In combination, I guess. Include the Brick Doctor contract number 11-2-07.
Motion to approve. Is that what you?
Yes. Motion to approve.
A second.
Second.
Discussion.
I'm not comfortable with a shroud of hushness over this. So.
I see two prices here on the Brick Doctor, 62 and 20,000.
Mr. Hugg, I'm going to ask you a loaded question, and I would like a response.
It's because it's not eligible for Medicare. No.
Is this earmarked money?
For who?
Yes, this is earmarked street aid money.
Right.
That has been.
It's
basically a pass-through. It's a pass-through type billing. Mm-hmm. And each.
Let me ask you this. This is, it's a pass-through to the fire department.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any other pass-throughs?
How about
a pass-through to the town hall?
I'm hoping this is the last one.
No, we do not.
Can you assure me, Mr. Hugg and Mr. Mullen, this is the last of the earmarked money for this year?
No way. Would I begin to assure you of that?
So this comes as...
You could go to jail.
We could go to jail. But I guess what I'm saying is that the state now is saying to us, here's the money, pay the bill. Right?
Mr. Mullen's shaking his head. No, why?
The state is not saying that.
What are the state saying? I
agree with Dr. Shervinak 100%. I have a problem with earmarked money.
I have a real problem with it too, but I
might need to go in the executive session, then come back at you.
Say what?
Go in the executive session, then come back at you.
Has this work been done?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I mean this is one of those things, and I mean
it's fine to be one of those things, but sometimes when those things aren't right.
Okay, every legislature has a certain amount of street aid funding,
correct,
that they can use for improvements in the streets.
For a street.
For streets.
Which is a public street, correct?
Yes, it is a public street.
But it can include sidewalks and driveway aprons and those kinds of things.
Right.
The problem with this, with the fire company being a private organization? I mean, if you don't see a problem with it.
I understand it. I agree 100%.
As Dr. Shervinak has been using this word in the past couple of meetings, precedent.
This isn't the first time.
But it's my first time.
Me too.
On council.
It is an accepted practice throughout the state.
Well, I think I voted the last time was some sort of thing on Route 13. I think it was something that we all enjoyed.
Doug, I got to say, we actually, as old as you are, been on council, we did vote on something like this before. But a year ago, we said that after this is over, we need to change some things. We actually tabled this a long time ago.
In the early summer because of this problem. Because
we needed to change some
things. But then they went and did the work anyway.
Well, no, the work was already done.
Ah.
The work was already done months ago.
But the dated invoice is 11-6.
And Gary was supposed to get a hold of Representative Ennis and explain the concerns and come up with whatever.
Okay, so the Brick Doctor was 62,000, and the Jerry's paving was 10,000. Is that correct? The total is $72,000.
That's what I understand.
Okay.
That total has been earmarked from the street aid fund, and it's available.
And we have not received the money from the state yet.
Yes.
We have?
Yes.
Yes.
It is available.
Yes.
Okay, so I sense now that we have to do this from the point of view that...
The same way we had to do the one for
Seth. Bob. You really need to go check the water cooler, please.
No, but
surveyor.
Well, no. This is a little bit different in that we have to work with our state representatives.
I just don't like being pressured into voting on something I don't know anything about, and I'm just
you can withstand.
I'm opposed to earmarking money. I think without having full disclosure.
Well, I think what happened is the money was earmarked for the state. Period. So, I mean, you know, I understand now. I understand the issues. We don't want to make anybody mad or upset,
right.
But on the other hand, I think that it's kind of a crazy way to have the state come into our town and say, okay, you're going to spend the money this way, that we have no say-so in how this money's spent. Or...
Sorry, Councilman Mullen.
No, Mr. Brown, I agree with you 100%.
I wish maybe we could send a message to our state representatives in the area that we really appreciate
Thank
the money, but we...
Mr. Hogg, how much money have we spent on sidewalks and streets this past year?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Would it
be this amount of money?
No.
I have no problem earmarking money for sidewalks, but I'd like to see my sidewalks on the east side of Smyrna repaired.
That section.
Actually, we've done very few sidewalks. The sidewalks we've done have only been as part of street repaving projects where we've had to replace a...
Well, then let's start. Let's make a change. Let's do some sidewalks.
And then the Happy...
So much money.
The Happy Harry's parking lot.
It was a separate source of funding.
That was a separate source of funding.
That was carried over money from another year.
So is there anything that we're going to be doing that this could be applied to the streets and the sidewalks and then the town of Smyrna? I mean, money comes in and money goes out.
Yeah, this doesn't result in any additional money to the town of Smyrna.
No, but it implicates and brings the town of Smyrna into something by making us be a pass-through agency for a private organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I have legal problems with that. Well, there's a motion on the floor.
Has anybody talked to representatives?
Several times.
Yeah.
That's a done deal. I mean, the work
and
has been
and
done.
This unfortunately is I'll say
we're hurting our fire company if we don't vote it.
Right, and that's.
Well, yeah, and it's.
We've
I mean,
got
it,
our
it's.
Hands tied.
This is a long-standing practice of the members of the General Assembly to provide funding for community organizations, including fire companies, that are not directly eligible for. Suburban Street Aid, which is the name, the correct name. Of
Mr. Hogg, I'm not mad at you by all means. Because
no.
You're in a bad situation with this as it is.
Well, I mean, we are. And it's
right.
Just, you know, it's the issue when it came up 6 months ago or whatever. I mean, you know, Gary probably had more heartburn than any of you had.
Yeah.
That's an understatement. You know, because he's just, you know, he feels much more strongly than probably any of us that this is not really the way, you know, if you want to give money to the fire company for their parking lot, give
right.
them the money. You know, and if, you know, if the General Assembly wants to support these kinds of organizations, then amend the law.
We need
so
our fire company. There's no
yeah.
there's no doubt in that. We need them. They're a great organization.
You know, it just puts, you know, I think Gary's correct. It puts the town in an awkward situation because, you know, in order for this money to flow properly, we have to describe it as having been spent on a project or projects in the town of Smyrna.
Did you inspect it?
Yeah, I walked over and looked at it. It's square bricks, and you know it's green.
Yeah, but I mean, did our inspectors approve the work in that? No.
No, it's on private property.
DelDOT did too.
DelDOT did.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't even inspect this thing.
Seth's going to get Reporter of the Year now.
Seth is not going to write this.
You don't know.
He knows better.
Well, there's a motion on the floor, so.
Whatever questions you want answers to tonight, Seth, you're not going to get them if you're at the note.
See me after the meeting, Lisa. Yeah.
Well, we got a motion on the floor. Let's
yeah, let's just.
Doug, I think it's to you, right?
Hello. I'm not in charge.
Yes.
Yes. It's Dream Rock Reservation.
After much ado, I'm coming to the conclusion that I should vote yes.
I concur with Dr. Shervinek's statement. Yes.
I'm going to vote yes, but we want to again make sure we send a letter stating that we don't want this to happen again.
I think we probably ought to have a private discussion with.
I think that'd be a very good idea.
Oh, boy.
I'd like to disclose that my son is a volunteer fireman, and I am not making anything on this. Yes.
So if we go down, we all go down together.
That's right.
I'll send you a card.
Let me know what facility is better in the federal penitentiary.
Fool here.
I want the country club estate.
I had one more thing under presiding officer that I forgot. Can I bring it up, Terry?
You want to do other council business?
Bring it up other council business.
Okay.
Do you want to do that now before you go into executive session?
Could I?
Is it?
Yeah, that's fine with us. Sure. That's fine with me.
Okay, it's just that the Merchants Association wanted to remind us that this Saturday is candlelight walking tour, and if the town could help with making sure that the town is clean as possible. There's some concern where the recycling bins are behind the administration building.
Right now?
Right, this very minute.
Solid waste authority?
She said now, and I'm like, you know, how windy is it? Actually, now's a good time, just open the thing.
Half an hour today, and they sent a crew up to clean up the whole area. Everything was done but the cardboard, and the cardboard tractor trailer was full, but he was coming back, blah, blah, blah. That should be done.
It's Sunday. Sunday. I'm sorry. Stand correct. That the walking tour is Sunday.
And that message will be on electric bills that go out.
It's just for your copy. These.
I got one.
Kesh, do we have a motion to go into executive session?
I will make a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
As per the agenda.
As per the agenda.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Sorry.
Councilman Presley.
Presley, aye.
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 Okay. Are you all going to meet in here?
Pictures.
Yeah, we may have to stay.
Yeah, the of.
Okay. I assume that this is a continuation of the matter from the last time. So you don't need me.